This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, good morning. I am Ifeanyi Andrew. Beautiful Tuesday morning, isn't it? Yes, I'm loving the weather as well. Thought it would be raining, but thank God, at least for now, no rains, so no floods. And you're welcome, Mr. Morning Crossfire. And interestingly, we had some leaders from the South grace the state yesterday. They were at the government house in Port Harcourt, had a meeting, governors from the South, those are what I'm referring to. And they had a meeting yesterday and came to some sort of, you know, conclusions, made some resolutions that was announced. And this morning we are looking at that meeting, the resolutions that they made, and what implications those resolutions would have. Some of the issues that they touched on would include the VAT, supporting that the move by Rivers State. I think Lagos State has added to the fact that states can collect VAT. So the South governors resolved that they were going to join the lawsuit on the VAT. That was one, and it wasn't all. They also approved setting up a regional security, which is very interesting. Because we know that we have the Amoteco from the Southwest. Ebube Agu was set up for the East. I don't know if it's still functional because, you know, some groups have also lamented the fact that Ebube Agu, ever since the governors from the Southeast put that up, we haven't seen much of it in action. And then importantly also, the South governors said it is necessary for the forensic audit report of the NDDC to be made public. So some of the few things that they touched on, and we are going to be discussing these on the Morning Crossfire today. And we'll be asking you the very important question. And that question is, what would be the implication of these? First is the regional security outfit that the South governors are looking at putting up within the region. How effective would it be? How is it going to help? When you take a look at the other regional security outfits that were set up from the Southwest to the Southeast, what do you think this one can bring to the table? There's also the talk about the VAT. This VAT was ongoing years on. Don't forget, you might have heard it on the news, that Lagos State government has demanded a new revenue sharing formula. They believe that they deserve more. So at the end of the day, are we going to see the Supreme Court say, okay, this is how it is for the VAT, and let the states collect it? Or are we going to hear otherwise? We cannot tell. The matter is in court, so we have to wait. And then the NDDC report. Would it be made public? Are we going to hear names? Over 3,000 plus or 5,000 abandoned projects. Who are the contractors? Did they get their monies? And why wasn't the job done? Would that report see the light of day? Another question. Well, joining me to have this conversation this morning is a professor of political science from the Ignatius Ajuri University of Education, Professor Kenneth Nweke. He's on the line at the moment. Hello, good morning, Prof.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, you're welcome. I hope you're having a wonderful morning.
Great. And doing great work, you know, I'm paid for.
We're glad you could give us a few minutes of your time to have this conversation, which is very timely at the moment. So we had the South governors have a meeting here in Port Harcourt at the Brick House yesterday. First of all, what do you make of the meeting generally? We had the governors of Akwa Ibom, Bayelsa, Delta, Edo, and Rivers State, but then Cross River State governor was absent. What do you make of the meeting generally?
Well, for me, people are free to meet, organizations, states are free to meet. We're in a democratic country. We say to every one provided is a lawful gathering, free to meet, discuss your affairs, have a particular goal or some set of goals that you want to pursue, all that, you know, within the purview of the South government, is to meet and discuss the affair. So it's fine. That's fine. Provided it's a gathering that will bring about the desired progress for the people of the South South.
Okay, so we're quickly going to touch on a few of the resolutions that the South South governors reached after their meeting. I think about four of them, but we'll just do it two. So we'll start off with the very first one, which many have been looking at. I think it's very interesting because security has become a major problem around different parts of the country. So the forum approved the setting up of a regional security outfit. And we already know that we have the Ibubeagu for the southeast. We have Amotekun. I think there are also some other security outfits in the north. I don't think they are. It's a regional one, but I know that they have various security outfits. There was a debate at the times about setting up these things and how constitutional they are. But now that the South-South governors are saying they want to also put up a regional security outfit, how much effect do you think this would have on the region and the safety of people that live in the region, if we look at the antecedents of other security outfits that have been put up?
Well, for me, security challenges have been the bane of our progress in recent times in Nigeria across different regions. And thinking of also setting up security outfits to tackle this menace, it's something that should be applauded. But again, you begin to also interrogate what other regions have done in this regard. So how effective our marketing was done in the West and all that. And so how has that been able to address the numerous security challenges in the Southwest? And then the Bugago was conceived, well, for me, it's on paper. Nothing has been done in that regard. And so the South East governors came together to also use that idea. And so they have gamut of insecurity in the Southeast, you know, as you speak right now. And so I do not see where the Bugago is actually addressing this menace that is going on in the Southeast. And so if the South the donors think that setting up a unit security outfit would also address, probably they may have a good plan better than what the other regions have done. So they say probably if they have a better thinking, better conception in terms of also implementation, also without taking into consideration partisanship and other interests.
Prof, sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned a better plan. Sorry to interrupt you. One would expect that the South-South governors would have taken a look at what their counterparts in the Southwest and Southeast have done and ensure that they come up with something comprehensive. So far, we haven't gotten detailed information as to the financing of this outfit. Who is going to fund it? How would the monies be coming? Are they going to be wielding weapons or not? The constitutionality of all of this is also in question. And there's also who would control the outfit? That's another thing. And we expect that these things should have been made brought to our notice, at least the moment they are saying we want to set this up, we should have all of these details. Is it too early to be asking these questions, or you think perhaps they have a plan to tackle all of this?
That's what we are saying, that ordinarily for the South African governors to come together to think of risk, they ought to also reflect on what is going on in the other half of the country, like the Mexican and even the Ibuago conception and all that. So even Ibuago has not taken off, and I don't know why it hasn't taken off over 3 months, running to 6 months now, that conception was made by the South-East governor. And so when ordinarily one would think that they may have taken all of those into consideration before coming out of this proposal. And so that's what ordinarily should be in order not to make the same mistake. And remember also that the Southern governors also came together to meet the idea of a law against open grazing and all that.
And we haven't seen much implementation.
I want to tell you that even in Nigeria, if you look from your window there, you see cows moving up and down and all that on my car in the village. I still see a car moving up and down. And
so, in other words, you're saying that this call for security, original security outfit, may just be one of those other regular calls that they make for political reasons.
And we are only interrogating what has been done in the past and then why, what other efforts that are being made right now. And then why that effort should be further interrogated in order not to make the mistakes of the past. So it's a good thing to think about the regional security outfit. Yes, you talk about the funding. How will the funding be? Who control that? And today, probably the South governors are together, probably because they share common political interests and all that. So, leading to 2023 as we go on. So what would happen? Of course, there may be divergent partisan interest and all that. And so that may also be a challenge, in what we may want to agree today.
Could that party interest be why the Cross River State Governor was absent?
Like I said, it's a personal thing, the choice. Of course, the governors are driving this process. Every governor becomes a leader in his own state and decides what the interest of that state would be. So probably that may not be in the interest of the state, so to say. But of course, as a leader of the state, whatever he decides is assumed to be the interest of the state. But that sometimes that may not also be further interrogated. So, but like I said, it's within the choice of state to belong to any organization or to belong to or to be part of any process in this regard. Probably that's the choice of Cross River State.
Okay. Many also have highlighted the fact that what could be responsible for the insecurity and some other issues that we have in the Niger Delta region and the South would be underdevelopment or unemployment, poverty, etc., etc. And the NDDC is one of the commissions that have been set up to help tackle this problem. Now, recently we had the forensic audit report delivered to the president, and there were talks about the numbers of abandoned projects, which was alarming. So far, we haven't seen much done with regards to going after those people who may have been indicted in that report. And now the South governors are saying that that report should be made public. Would we see a situation where that happens? We remember the former chairman of the board. At the time it was presenting, it was before the National Assembly. We saw the drama and all that happened at that time. And many said, oh, come on, this forensic audit is dead on arrival. Is that the situation now? Despite the call by the South governors, are we going to see this report made public?
Well, for me, that report is a holistic one. That audit is a holistic one, expanding from when the NDDC came into being and all that, and to this. And so it is holistic, it's comprehensive, so to say, that audit report of answer the panel set out to, or was set out to achieve. So, but it's one thing to talk about making it public. It is not, if you make it public, and then at the end of the day, you do not address the major recommendations in the report. So what will that achieve? So it's beyond making it public, because of course, if you make it public, and a lot of people can also do the public challenge such a report, and then also even make it impossible for you to even implement the recommendations of the panel and all that. I think that it goes beyond making it public. It should be what the government of the day for setting up that kind of audit plan.
Yes.
You know, so audit entities should already know what the major objectives of or what the government wants to achieve at the end of the day. So see the Niger Delta that enjoys development, actual development. If you look at that report, of course, from 1999 when NDDC came to being and all that, and to date. And so it's going to be comprehensive, and believe me, it's going to touch on every facet of society, individuals across party lines and all that, if they actually do what they ought to do and all that. And so, even calling for that report to be made public, I don't see anything wrong about it by the Southland governor, but I'm saying that in addressing the fundamental issues in the Niger Delta, goes beyond making such reports public. But okay. What matters is, addressing clearly what the recommendations of the report.
Professor Onwuike, then it brings us to ask this question. I mean, if you're investing so much money in a forensic audit report and now the report is out and the idea was to sanitize the NDDC as a commission and ensure that you put it back on track to, carry out the functions for which it was created, the only thing we expect is that the moment this was done, we see the report made public and we begin to see people who are culpable, being punished. So if you can tell us, from your own idea, when you look at the situation, what do you think is causing the delay in, making this report public and ensuring that whoever is involved, whoever is culpable of handled the contract and did not deliver, that they get punished? What would you say is responsible for that delay on the part of the government now that the report is finally out?
So another question you asked, is what has been the convention successive governments at all levels, in making public what ought to be public. What has been the convention in Nigeria?
That could be in the past, but at least we're looking at this one now. Even if in the past we've had similar situations. But this particular one.
Looking at this one. Andrew, you're looking at this one. We are talking about what has been the convention. It means that all the documents that are supposed to be made public in Nigeria by all levels of government, that is being done. And so then you now begin to ask what is peculiar about this particular one to not to be made public. I think that Mr. President, who set up this panel to investigate the NDDC or the interrogate activities of NDDC over time, knew why he did so. And if the government also feels that it's important, to make Nigerians know what the recommendations or the findings and recommendations of this panel at an appropriate time, the government should be able to make that public. What I'm saying is that, yes, it is good to make such panels and reports public, but it goes beyond, addressing the fundamental issues in the Niger Delta, goes beyond making such panels. If you make it public and you do not clearly address the major recommendations, so what for? Then at the end of the day, it becomes a mere paper work, and then without really addressing the fundamental issues. I am saying clearly that the issues in the Niger Delta go beyond making such a report public. Yes, it is one thing to make the report public, but it's another thing to pursue the recommendations clearly. And I'm also saying that if you also make it public, trust Nigeria, some Nigerians will use it for, to seek for injunctions to restrain the federal government from even implementing some aspects of that report, plus Nigerians and the activities in the judiciary and all that. And so I think that a responsible and respected government should know when to make such reports, whether or not to make such reports public, and then within the purview or within the conventions are ascribed to such release of such reports, then the government can do so. But I am saying again, as much as the Southland governors are interested in releasing the report or making the report public, but I also think that there are fundamental other issues that the Southland governors should be looking at. For instance,
Okay, Prof. Sorry to interrupt you, Prof. We'd have to just take a pause now. We need to go for a commercial. I just want you to hold that thought, please. We want to go on a commercial now. Hold that thought. When we return, you continue on that line of thought. And we also get to look at some other resolutions that was reached by the South governors. One of them would include a review of some parts of the Petroleum Industry Act for Equity and Justice, they say, and amongst many other things. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back shortly. If you're listening, it's the Morning Crossfire on Nigeria Info. You can send in your comments on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. Again, 0809-030-6416. 6416. We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. It's now past 8 this lovely morning. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Thank you for staying there. It's a wonderful conversation on the Morning Crossfire, and our guest is still very much on the line, Professor Kenneth Nweke from the Ignatius Adjei University of Education, a political analyst and lecturer of political science department. We're looking at the meeting of the South-South governors here in Port Harcourt at the Government House. A couple of resolutions were reached. Some demands were made. Well, the question we're asking you is, do you see any of these things, yielding any effect? Does it really become productive at any point? What implications does this have for the region? First off is the regional security outfits that they say they'd have agreed to set up. Would it be successful? How is it going to operate? Well, some of these questions we hope that they would give us the answers to. They also have said that the report from the forensic audit of the NTDC be made public. Some say that one would never work. It's never going to happen. I don't know how true that is, but they've only put up a demand. Would it be done? Is another question altogether. Let's get back to my guest. Hello, good morning, Prof. Thank you for staying on the line.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we go on, let me quickly just say this. If you're listening to us and you want to make a contribution, use the WhatsApp portal 0809-030-6416. We would be opening the phone lines anytime soon, but send in your WhatsApp messages 0809-030-6416. On Facebook, it's Nigeria Info PH, where you can drop your comments as well. Let's get back to you now, Prof. So, you were trying to say something concerning their demands for the forensic audit of the NDDC being made public before we went on that commercial.
Yes. So, what I was saying is that, yes, I would want to also support that it should be made public. But again, and also to say that what ought to be made public by government at all levels ought to be made public, including this one. And so it's not only pressing for this particular one. Every other thing that ought to be made public at all levels of government should be made public. Then I also want to say clearly that beyond making it public, that what matters is also making the government of the day that set up that panel to pursue vigorously the recommendations of that panel. But again, but also think of what are the implications that pursuing the recommendations would be, because most other times you can't be judged guilty except by competent law, court of law. So you can also know the, some of the challenges that such a panel report may suffer in the future. This is also made public. Like I said, some people will challenge that report in court and all that.
Until that time, I think we hope that it gets to that point. But first, people just want to see that, okay, this is what we did. This is what you spent the state's money on, and this is the result of it. Anything that happens from there on, we follow through. But some other things that the South governors mentioned.
Yes, anything that follows through, of course, like I said, that a responsible and responsive government that sets up that panel should know what to do. With the report of that panel.
Okay.
And again, like putting pressure on the government to make it public is not a bad idea.
All
what
right.
I'm saying is that beyond making it public, what matters is pursuing the matters that will bring about real development for the Niger Delta people. Like I was also saying that beyond pressuring the federal government to make that report public, that the South states will be able to gather together. There's ongoing divestment in the oil industry. So are they also taking such into consideration to say, how would our people benefit from this ongoing divestment to the Niger Delta?
I was about coming to this particular issue now you just raised.
Be part of this ongoing divestment, because beyond also clamoring for taxes and order, we will also be talking about how to generate saving budgets.
Prof, now that you brought it up, Prof, many have also said meetings like this should be held by the South-South governors to see how they can come together, harness resources that they have in common, to see how they can, you know, create human capital development for people in the region. They went on to also ask that the National Assembly review parts of the PIA as the Petroleum Industry Act. And I think majorly would be, many have been uncomfortable with the 3% to host communities. It was supposed to be 5, it was supposed to be 10. And recently, I think the president even sent the bill back for an amendment to see a geopolitical spread with regards to appointments on the board. That also came up. And then, of course, we have the ultimate VAT battle that's still ongoing. They are joining on that lawsuit. But shouldn't the governors, aren't the governors looking at that angle, the need to also, you know, hold into importance a job creation for people in the region? Many expect that that should be part of their meeting as well.
Let me also tell you, let's just do that anything to press for an upward review of some 3% for the Oligos community. But I speak to you, I come from a community that produces over 300 oil and gas wells. From OBJN, Imelu, Ikorengo, Sokota, Igbo community. As I speak, I need a trailer to access that area. With over 300 oil and gas wells seated on that place. And they are telling me of increase. So how much have we been impacted as a people that produce oil and gas in the area that ordinary roads we cannot access? But yet we contribute so much to the coffers of this nation and the state. And then you talk about increase. Yes, as much as we want more percentage to increase for oil and gas community. But what about the 30%? How have we been impacted positively on the development of that fund? So as much as the Southern government will also gather, you know, to talk about how to manage resources for the benefit of the people, all of those communities, including my image, should also be talking about how the 13% should affect us, how even the 3% should affect us. As much as we want to ask for more increase in terms of the percentage that goes to the oil community, but how well have we been able to manage even the little water that's given to us as communities and say in addressing the fundamental challenges that confront these people that produce this oil? It's so annoying that it can come from the most community that produces over 300 oil and gas wells in the area, and yet we have nothing to say for it. And it's so annoying, it's so pathetic that a number of things have been said about NDC and all that in the past. And then we need, as a people, to continue to map progress on the state in ensuring that the government agency like NDC addresses the core mandate for setting it up. But what are the state also doing in utilizing the oil resources that also go to address the fundamental challenges in those communities, such as mine, as I see very pathetic, you know, right now. And so, for me, it is one thing to talk about amending the Petroleum Industry Act, you know, to save up the oil producing communities. But in terms of talking about appointment of the justice and order by the state, those are not a fundamental issue. But what we see here is how the communities, you know, actually, you know, raise leadership that we will be able to utilize even the 3% in addressing the core issues in our area. Mm. How would also the government at all levels also utilize the resources that are available to them in addressing those problems of those communities? It's not just about, you know, sitting down and asking. Some of us can also sit down and begin to ask, because we are feeling so marginalized as a system of the Niger Delta, especially those that produce the oil and gas are not being impacted, you know, directly. And so it's so annoying. You know, I'm sitting down here today because over one year, I'm not able to accept my community and my communities as I see. You know, you share, you know, you share. Tobibo Agri. It's so annoying.
All right, Prof. Prof, thank you very much for your time, but this is where we have to let you go and then continue with your very, very busy day. Thank you for making out time to be with us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Professor Kenneth Nweke from the Ignatius Adjei University of Education, Political Science Department. He is also a political analyst. Well, so now it's over to you, who'll be opening the phone lines to get your own opinion on this. The resolutions of the South-South governors after their meeting yesterday here in Port Harcourt. We just touched on a few of the things that they are asking for and proposing to do. How fruitful are these things going to be? What results would this yield? How is this going to impact the region positively? Some of the questions that we're asking, and would like to get your own thoughts on it as quickly as possible. The phone lines are open now, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, 0817-923-0009. If you want to send a WhatsApp message, the number is 0809-030-6416. That is the a WhatsApp number, so you can send in your WhatsApp messages. Okay, so let's see. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, my dear. This is Dr. Benny Sangama.
Go ahead.
You see, what I want to say is that all these regional meetings and all are laying a bed for war in this country. One person can rule Nigeria. At least he says then during the military, the head of state will give orders to the governors and they work in unison. And here, one person is dragging, the other person is dragging, the other person is dragging, and it's all for selfish political gains. Because we have not seen in the Nigerian leadership what the citizens have benefited. In the U.S., there is food enough for the people. If your wife delivers in the U.S. today, they will give food enough for the whole family for 6 months, free of charge. It's even happening in the Asian Tigers. But here in Nigeria, what do they benefit? It is so sad that we have a government that do not behave like a government. It is only their personal interest, which is not right for us. I want to say that these governors should come back and think of the people, not to think of, let them go and meet and then grab the presidency and all. It's a wrong way to go. The Bible clearly says that any nation God wants to punish, he gives them youth leadership. When the youths come, they become mad. Look at what's happening in Imo State today. You know, when Mahatma Gandhi did his own sit at home, he never worried anybody. When the American human rights person also copied Mahatma Gandhi, he never worried anybody. There were no guns in it. When you want to do a thing like that, non-violent struggle is where you have sit at home.
Okay.
And not people carrying guns, parading, and then disturbing the peace
of
fellow citizens.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Good morning, my brother man, Andrew.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is David West.
David West, go ahead, 1 minute.
All right. Let me first of all start with the regional security issue. I would want to reserve my comment or wait a bit until 2023 and after 2023. That is when I will know that indeed the regional security athlete will make progress or not. Because I'm looking at the mindset of some of the governors that we have. I think for some of them, it's 2023. So I wait till then.
Okay. All right.
Then, on the issue also raised by the governors with respect to governors to appoint the board of trustees to the host communities, I say capital no to that. The governor should not have anything to do with the funds of the host communities. They should remain where they are. The 13% already, the host communities do not see anything from it. Some governors do not even have a drop of oil in their community. But because they are fortunate to be governor of the state, they can decide to use the resources that comes from the host community to develop their own place for their own 4 years or 8 years, as the case may be, and go away. So, with regards to the 3% for the host community issues, let it clearly remain with the host community people. Governors should stay away from it. Then, finally, South-South governors. I hope they are very serious with this forensic audit issue. If, like some people will say, the forensic audit is dead on arrival, is this, is that, I am of the opinion, and very strong opinion, that even if Mr. President, like I said, is sleeping, or the willpower to do that is dead, as a people, we will invoke that spirit to wake up, get to the bottom line of this forensic audit. Okay. Good morning, my brother. Have a nice good day.
Thank you very much, and good morning to you. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Good morning, bro.
JJ, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. Regional security, I don't think that will work.
How so?
We hear the Wabu. What have you heard about it again? And all those that are perpetrating those dastardly acts in those regions, how many of them Ibuwago have arrested at the end of the day? So to go the way of Ibuwago and go the way of Amoteko is just political stuff. But I must also tell you, Andrew, you know the Governor Commission, the Neighborhood Watch, remember? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good. Now, do you know that since the day they were inaugurated till today, they've not been paid shishi?
I think they didn't officially begin work, because we know that they were disrupted during their training period.
They started work long ago, for over 7 months now.
No, there were issues with there were issues with the board. Even if they said some things,
now our people say something that the goat that the town contribute money to buy is hunger that will kill the goats. Now, the one under your state, you've not been able to pay. Now you want a regional one. Who will pay? For the board of the 13% this thing, the governor should remove their 3%. They already have 13% that they don't account to anybody. Why would they want to delve into another 3% that is supposed to be of the community use? For the NDC board, I support them. Let the president swing into action and see how to form the board immediately, since the audit is done. Therefore, the report of the NDC audit, I think they shouldn't be in a hurry. After all, they call for it, and very soon, all those names will be seen in the court. Let's set up a tribunal and see how to know these people, not just naming them, because if you name them, they will run to court and get injunction just the way some of those ones have done already. So for me, let's remain calm. Is it regional security? No. Board of NDDC, yes. Board of trustee for 3%, no.
Right,
so,
JJ.
For the poor, you have 3 no and 1 yes. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Yeah, Mr. Zion, good morning to you.
All right, go ahead.
I want to applaud the South Governors Forum for their endeavors. The truth is, the faster we get to realize that the South-South region is not just being marginalized by the South-South people, the better we appreciate what these governors are doing. For them to come together to work on common cause for the betterment of our people, that is to tell you that from a distance, no matter the castle they were living, they know the problem on ground. Now, I want to urge them not to politicize the constitution of the NDDC board. In short, I want to call on Governor Wike, the governor of Emery.
Hello.
Behead the hurry up of the presidency to constitute the NDDC board. If I tell you what NDDC is losing because of the caretaking committee they have set up, you will not believe and you won't understand. And for the VAT issue, it's a welcome development. How can we from the South South, we are drinking beer. You are not drinking beer. Our beer came to your place, you destroy them.
are the one we have drank that you also develop and improve us. You want to use our profit to develop your own area. No, you cannot rob us to go and pay on other people. It's not possible. If you want to pay, you want to participate in the beer drinking, sorry, the beer bath, also drink the beer with us. So that will be a 50-50 submission.
Right. Zion, thank you.
Now for the
oh, goodness. Thank you very much, Zion. Okay, I'll take one more call before we go to the WhatsApp portal. Hello. Sadly, we lost that call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Femi. Yes, sir, this is my contribution. Whatever South African Nigerians do now, it will not make, it will not reflect to any change. What everybody should be pursuing now, all Nigerians should be gunning after, how their votes can count. All these people that are representing you people from the Senate, the national level, to the local level in your state here, are not people that you voted for. They are not people that are after your interest. In my own community, Bonny, where I'm calling you from, you know how they picked all these candidates that you have in House of Assembly, River State here. We know how they went. So they don't expect them to do anything tangible for you until our vote counts. And it has to be voting through the electronic media. That's when you get the truth. When you vote through electronic media, and our executive that we have scrutinized, screened, and felt fit to represent us, are representing us there, you see wonders. You see things begin to fall in places in this country. All those people you see there, believe me or not, they are not people you wanted. These are people that, one way or the other, they follow the interest of Godfather. They put them there. They are candidates imposed on Nigerians. Take this. This is the truth.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the WhatsApp portal and take some of your WhatsApp messages as we prepare to wrap things up for this morning. Andrew, good morning. They should forget about setting up any security outfit. They should focus more on development that will better the life of the citizens. I don't know, you are too good in this Crossfire segment. Oh, thank you very much. I thought it was only news reading that you're good at. Okay, thank you. Declan Uzoma Uduji sent in that one. Thank you. Hi, Andrew. The South governors are for their own interest. It's all about their ambition for 2023. No issue about job creation, how to develop their states, build industries, etc. Forming a regional security architecture in the region is good, but all is for their own interest. Have a nice day. Okay. I'm trying to understand how that would... If some of the things you said that they're doing is good, that was it for their interest then. Melody from Uniport says, their resolutions are sound, but like the Southeast, my worry is implementation. It still baffles me why a professor like Ben Ayade should have this poor human relational skill that has created an island syndrome between him and his peers. At a time like this, the governor should jettison his individualism for a more productive collective response to our common problems. Well, I'm sure a statement would be released from him as to why he wasn't part of the meeting. And then again, he really doesn't owe anybody an explanation. He's a governor of his own state. He has a right not to be part of the meeting. And it's not something you should take to heart. Good morning. You know, I was already having issues with my phone memory. So when I stopped receiving messages, I started deleting some videos and apps. Never knew it was social media's fault. Frank from Rumokushi. Okay. Andrew, Ebubeagu is only existing in Governor Dave Umahi's office, not in the East. Bob sent in this one. So in other words, are you saying we have to go visit his office to find out what is happening? And let me know, because I feel like this morning we're still having slight issues with the network. I mean, for the various social media platforms as well as the internet, it's still, this morning we're still having some of those issues. I don't know if you're having the same problem. Good morning, Mr. Andrew. Let the South governors set up companies, agricultural farms that would keep us independent of the North. We need to be self-sufficient. May Nwafo from LMA. And I've always thought about this. Fish is something we pride ourselves to have. River State, Bayelsa State, Delta State, all of these states, no one fishing company run by government. Okay, let them have a regional fishing company. Maybe that would employ a lot of people. Never thought about it. I don't know what they're waiting for. Hopefully that thought would come, and then we might harness that resource as much as we can. Well, thank you very much. And this is where we draw the curtain on the Morning Crossfire for today. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Bye-bye for now.